So Ask Luke, while we were on break, pulled a bite of Dave Roberts from yesterday that kind of goes in line with what I was talking about once. So the Padres have that cohesiveness. They have the fire and drive that they have been looking for. And if they've got it right now. Now they simply need to go out and, you know, execute. You can't win a championship without, you know, hitting the baseball and executing your pitches. But yeah. In terms of the team aspect, the cohesiveness of it, the Padres are there. They're at, in my opinion, world champion level when it comes to being a team that is ready to win a title. The Dodgers certainly have the players to win a championship. They don't have the cohesiveness and, you know, togetherness that they're looking for. And Dave absolutely 100% pretty much acknowledged that yesterday as well. Here's what he said during his Petco Park news conference.
Obviously, like you guys talked about, trying to match the Padres' intensity coming into this series. Like, does a game like last night, you think, fuel them any extra just with everything that went on? And does that kind of become the challenge again going into tomorrow, is finding your own response to the level that they're at?
It's our own response. It's our own response. And I think that we're not trying to hit Tatis with the leadoff as a leadoff hitter in a 3-1 game. I mean, anyone that knows baseball knows that's the case. But you use that as fuel.
Dan Plesac doesn't know baseball,
for us,
apparently.
Individually and as a team, we need to find that fuel for ourselves. And so I'm not going to manufacture something
aren't you?
That is not real.
You just did.
But again, it needs to be found. And I do believe that we had it in game one. And game two just got away from us. So I do expect our guys to come out with that fight that I saw in game one.
Is Baja Rick here? Because I need a paper bag because I'm going to hyperventilate. Do we have a Baja Rick's logoed paper bag that I can breathe into? I'm not going to manufacture something. But here's a video, MLB. I want you to suspend this man ASAP of him lightly throwing a ball over to our dugout, which he does 1,000 times a year. Are you joking, dude? Does he even know what he's saying anymore?
Sometimes when you say you don't have to manufacture something, that means you just manufactured something. That's kind of, you know, the misdirection, like, hey, don't look at the other hand, what my right hand is doing, my left hand in this case.
ST Jelly, I'm not going to manufacture something that's not real. Also, Manny tried to kill me with a baseball. I mean, holy crap, dude. What are we doing? Yeah, arms crossed, all defensive as usual. It's pretty absurd, man. It really is. And look, if you're envious of the togetherness of this team, you know, you're the leader of that ship, man. It's your responsibility to get your guys ready to play. And just like it's Mike Schilt's responsibility tonight to make sure that the emotions stay within, right? Play within yourself, that old tired baseball adage that no one really means until they're actually doing it. Don't try to do too much. Schilty has done a really good job at keeping these guys focused this year. Manny did a great job getting them refocused after garbage and bottles were being thrown at them and people were jawing. So that, I think, is going to be a real challenge tonight. I don't think the Dodgers are going to come out any more fired up than they already were for Game 3 at Petco Park against a good pitcher in Michael King. And I don't think the Padres need to come out any more fired up than they were, in Game 2. Just continue to try to stay level-headed and play your baseball.
You can't overdo it. You can get too fired up. You
100%.
Can get too emotional. You do not want to tip the scale too far in that direction.
I worry about Profar being too emotional. I worry about Jackson Merrill being 21 years old and being too... I don't worry about Manny.
I mean, he's got ice water in his veins.
He does. He does, absolutely.
I don't have a problem with Roberts trying to manufacture some energy, maybe. Like, you're totally fabricating with this whole story.
Right.
But I don't have a problem with you trying to rally up your guys or fire up your guys. It happens all the time. I mean, we talked about The Last Dance all the time. Michael Jordan literally made stories up in his head because that's what fired him up. And that's fine.
I do it all the time.
But these are going to be high-intensity games. You already know that heading into a Padres and Dodgers game. But let it be known, if there are some fireworks, especially early in the game, it's going to be because of Dave Roberts and what he said and did yesterday.
Yeah, no question about it.
If somebody throws high and in... Benches start clearing.
Yep.
This all could have been avoided by not blatantly lying.
I have a question. Ben, is there a way I could fire you up? Can you? Are you fire upable?
It's hard. That's certainly true.
I'm trying to think if I was your skipper, how I would get.
I'm the Kyle Higashioka. I'm the Higgy
trio.
I'm literally the Higgy of this trio.
I'm trying to.
And I feel like someone needs to stay at that level baseline to make sure to allow the rest of you to go ahead and revel in your emotions.
I wonder what I could do to get you fired up.
I get mad sometimes when I see what I perceive as an injustice. You know, as a fan on the field, and when I see what perceives to be an injustice,
like garbage being thrown on the field at players.
Well, yeah, bottles, I mean that's certainly part of it. But you know, when someone is wrongly accused or maligned, you know, Manny Machado in particular, that does get me
good.
That's why I agreed with you that I feel the worst about this situation because of the repercussions for Manny, the unfair repercussions for Manny that he's going to have to deal with. In like 3 years when they're in the playoffs and someone brings this up,
yeah,
it's totally, totally unfair to Manny. And I hate to see that.
Yeah, mission accomplished,
for a player and a person like Manny Machado. So that does tend to get me fired up.
What about this? All golf courses are closed.
That would just get me mad.
That's just mad. That's just not mad. Even fired
that's,
up.
That's no, just why? Why are you doing that?
I think you would be more like, oh, dang it.
I haven't seen a golf course in like 3 weeks.
I'm trying to remember. This was probably like 4 years ago now, maybe even longer. Like the LA Times or somebody on a national level wrote about the Chargers in Los Angeles and how it was San Diego's fault, you know, that whole angle to
that'll
the story.
That
and
yes,
Ben went off.
Like, he was
I
like,
saved it somewhere. Like Ben went
ballistic. It was great. It was great.
Now, don't make up your own facts to serve your own story.
What about run differential? That got you fired up last year. Me and you screaming at each other. It doesn't matter.
But it does. I wanted it to make sense last season. And it never made sense.
All right.
We are live at Baja Rick's. Food coming out of the kitchen. Pauly's breakfast burrito.
It is unreal.
I just had a quesadilla, but both fantastic. I see people eating here. Come join us. The menu is terrific. We're here all day long with 97.3 The Fan. And by the way, long day. This is the latest start so far, I believe, in the postseason, 6:08 p.m. That means it's a 9 o'clock game on the East Coast, so people are going to have to stay up late if they want to watch this series on FS1. We'll have a Sam Levitt pregame show for you at 5:08 today, so stay tuned all day long right here to 97.3 The Fan. With all this drama, it was almost like the off day of Padres-Dodgers was more intense than even the actual games in the American League, which were really good games.
Phenomenal.
I watched both of them yesterday.
I did too.
Starting with an incredible pitcher's duel between the Tigers and the Guardians, game two of the series at Progressive Field in Cleveland. Tarek Skubal felt like it's a must-win game. Anytime he takes them out, if the Tigers want to keep moving on, essentially he has to win every time out. And
yeah,
he was once again the Cy Young, presumptive Cy Young winner in the American League, the Triple Crown of pitching winner. Fantastic. 7 innings, 3 hits, 8 strikeouts, no walks, but the Tigers' offense couldn't get anything going against Matthew Boyd and a string of relievers that kept coming out of that a really good Cleveland bullpen and matched the zeros all the way into the 8th inning. The Tigers then put 2 runners on, 2 outs, so Cleveland countered with their great closer, Emmanuel Clase.
Yeah, he's almost perfect, man.
Got out of the jam, got the final out in the 8th inning. But that meant he had to do something that closers don't often do, go sit down, warm back up for the 9th. And when he came back out in the 9th, Clase was not quite Clase anymore. Got 2 runners on, and Kerry Carpenter came in and did this.
Runner goes, pitch is swung on, a high fly ball to right field. This one is gonna fly! A 3-run home run, Kerry Carpenter! The Tigers up 3-0 as Carpenter, an emphatic, towering fly ball home run into the bleachers in right field. What a moment!
And that was all the runs of the game.
Incredible, man. Clase goes with 3 straight sliders hangs the last one, and Carpenter puts a brilliant swing on it. That game was incredible. Watching Tarek Skubal pitch, you know, we don't watch many Tigers games here. We missed him when he came here, thank God. But watching that dude pitch is a revelation, Benny. He is 96 to 99. He works as fast as you could. He gets the ball, takes the mound, bam, and he didn't miss. He did not miss. He didn't miss location. He was phenomenal. I thought to myself, had they made him available, as it was rumored that they were going to, and the Dodgers had gotten Tarek Skubal, or the Padres had managed a way to get Tarek Skubal, God only knows what it would have cost. As I watched him yesterday, I thought to myself, worth it. Worth whatever they were asking for. He was ungodly.
There was some phenomenal defense in that game. Parker Meadows in center field. Stephen Kwan made a two-run saving catch that had to be reviewed. Still don't know if he actually caught it or not. It was that close,
either.
But they called
close.
It out on the field. They weren't able to overturn it on the replay there. It was a really terrific game. I still think Cleveland has the advantage in the series, even though they lost home field advantage and have to go to Detroit for the next two games. I still don't know that there's enough pitching left. Skubal could possibly come back in Game 5 if they can get it, though, to a Game 5, which, I mean, if you're the Tigers, you go, hey, we get one of these at home, and we can throw Tarek Skubal again in Game 5. We can win this series. We could go to the ALCS after being a team that was, you know, what, 10 games under 500, trading away Jack Flaherty and other players at the deadline. There's a path now to the American League Championship Series for the Detroit Tigers, as there now is for the Kansas City Royals, who came through with a four-run, fourth inning against Carlos Rodon. Salvi Perez hit the first ever Major League home run that the ump cam was actually live on when
right.
he hit it. You know, you see the replay of the ump cam home runs, but every time they usually go to the ump cam, nothing happens. Oh, it's taken outside.
Yeah.
It's fouled off,
you
whatever.
You can't tell where it was, location, nothing.
I was watching, and I said, that's a home run off the bat.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you can't really tell usually, but he turned on that, and I go, I think that's a home run. And it was. It sparked a four-run inning. Tommy Pham had an RBI single. Their trade deadline pickup, and the Kansas City Royals got you know, good work from Cole Reagans in the bullpen, held down the Yankees in a 4-2 win that evens that series up at a game apiece and gives home field advantage to the Royals as they go back for games 3 and 4 in Kansas City.
Yeah, Aaron Judge, Ben, is a bit in the chamber as far as playoff baseball is concerned. 9 for 63, 3 homers, 24 Ks in his last 16 postseason games. I thought it was really interesting, too. Did you see the move that they did yesterday? Can you imagine this? So, Aaron Boone makes out his lineup yesterday, and he wants to get John Birdie in it. And he's like, let's see, where can I put Birdie? How about first base? He's never played first base in his life. And in a playoff game, he's like,
what better chance to learn?
Hey, bro, grab your mitt. He was fine. The first chance he had was this weird spinner down the line that hopped over the bag. He made that play, caught a foul ball, and then, of course, handled the throws from the infield. But you want to talk about, you're already nervous as hell playing a playoff game, and they're like, hey, go play first base. He's like, I don't play first base. I'm not a first baseman. I just thought about the consternation it would cause us if, you know, for all of a sudden tonight, Brandon Lockridge is your first baseman. You're like, what in the world is going on? But, yeah, man, that series is now tied, what, 1-1?
1-1. All four DS series are tied at 1. That has never happened before since they went to this format a few seasons ago. So we are guaranteed all four series will at least go to a Game 4. And you got to imagine with four chances, we're going to see at least a Game 5 or 2, if not 3 or 4 of them. So it should be a really exciting playoff round of baseball. The other NLDS series also continues today in New York as the Phillies and Mets shift to Game 3 in Citi Field. That matchup is going to be Aaron Nola against Sean Manaea at 2:08, also on FS1. So doubleheader of baseball with the Phillies and Mets going first, and then the Dodgers and Padres wrapping things up tonight here at Petco Park.
Can't wait, man. Are you going to the game tonight?
I will be there at the game. Well, I will be right there at the top of the Marriott in the early part, and then I'll go in at some point around 7. So I'll miss the first couple innings or watch them from the roof, and then I'll probably go in for a little while at the park.
I've been in contact with future Dodgers manager Skip Schumacher, which is it feels like a foregone conclusion, especially if the Pods win this game. But he will also be in the house tonight down at Petco Park. So looking forward to seeing my pal Skip. But, yeah, I had some conversations with him about all of this yesterday. And I basically told him, you know, if this doesn't go well, I mean, I feel like he's probably here interviewing with Friedman in the Omni right now.
It's crazy because the Dodgers are two wins from advancing in this series, just like the Padres are.
I know.
Doesn't feel like it anymore.
No, which means nothing, really. You know, your feelings are all great, but you still got to execute. You know, you got to figure out a way to hit Walker Buehler, who's a really he's a big game pitcher, man.
I want to talk about it going forward, but I had to stop myself from getting overconfident.
You have to.
In the last day or so.
You have to.
So we got to go to break. Our next segment is typically Don't Do This. Ken Rosenthal just put out a story in The Athletic. The Sinister Sling and the Multitudes of Manny Machado.
Ooh, interesting.
We got a 5-minute commercial break. Woods, I'm going to need you to read this.
Quick,
it's going to get you
reading.
All fired up.
Woods is a speed reader, so that's good. And we didn't talk about it yesterday. Former Padres, number one draft pick, hits the crime blotter again.
Oh, man.
Don't Do This is coming up after a check of traffic with Kelly. We're live from Baja Rick's Cantina in the Gas Lamp. Please come on down and join us. Drinks, food, and Padres baseball all day long on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Well, before we get back to our Manny Machado discussion and the new piece that just dropped from Ken Rosenthal, quick teaser, you're not going to like it very much, Padres fans.
He's at it again.
Bummed about this story. Matt Bush, of course, former number one overall draft pick of the San Diego Padres, way back in, 1999, was it? Was once again found himself on the wrong side of the law due to a DWI in Arlington, Texas, after attempting to flee from police. Details are still not totally clear on exactly what happened. The allegations are that Bush fled Texas police after a traffic stop, then fled the scene of a multi-car crash on foot.
Jeez,
before
dude.
He was detained by bystanders. Bush and one of the drivers reportedly suffered minor injuries, but there's little known beyond that at this point. Bush really was one of the great turnaround, comeback stories after essentially being out of baseball after his troubles with the Padres and legal issues as well.
He was in prison.
Came back from prison all the way to make it to the big leagues, right, with the Texas Rangers.
Yep.
And it's sad to see another incident here in Matt Bush's life that he's going to have to deal with and take responsibility for.
Yeah, man. Fleeing the scene drunk is not a good look for Matt Bush, Benny. And this is not a good look either. And Dave Roberts should wake up this morning very, very happy. He got exactly what he wanted. The national attention is once again on Manny Machado for throwing a ball over to the Dodgers dugout that Dave Roberts initially never saw, didn't notice, was not under any duress, or you know, and here we go. Ken Rosenthal has just dropped a piece in The Athletic talking about Manny being Manny again. You know, let me get some of the greatest.
Well, he starts by talking about what he said in the actual broadcast on Sunday night.
Yeah, he feels now like, oh, I was cheated.
He gave Manny his props.
I praised you.
He said Manny Machado has taken a lot of criticism in his career for being too laid back, for occasionally playing dirty, for being the kind of player you don't want to build around. Well, what we saw in that dugout tonight, in that meeting, that was the most visible and powerful act of leadership in his career. He's 32 now, clearly a different guy. All of that is absolutely 100% correct, and yet Ken Rosenthal wants to almost retract that statement in this column that he wrote today, Woods.
He said, if I only knew then what we learned after the game and during Monday's workout at Petco Park, that Machado threw a ball towards the Dodgers dugout, that it struck the netting in front of Dodgers manager Dave Roberts, that the throw was forceful enough for the carom to carry out towards home plate. Two things can be true. Manny showed leadership in the dugout, draping his arm around catcher Kyle Higashioka and imploring his teammates to maintain their focus. But his punkish response to Dodgers right-hander Jack Flaherty hitting Fernando Tatis Jr. with a 91.7 mile per hour sinker Well, that was Manny being Manny again.
How about this one, man? Machado is, quote, this is a quote. Machado is far from the Padres' only irritant. Fernando Tatis Jr. is a smiling, dancing peacock. Jurickson Profar is the kid who pulls the fire alarm at school and then asks, who, me? This is garbage, dude. It's just garbage. It pisses me off. It bums me out. I don't want to give it a whole lot more oxygen because, again, man, you know, you got to let your play speak the loudest on the field. But I do. I feel bad for these guys, man. Fernando Tatis Jr. did nothing wrong. Jurickson Profar did nothing wrong whatsoever. What did Jurickson Profar do? He had fun with fans. Fernando Tatis Jr. having fun with fans. Manny sticking up for a teammate is now a national story thanks to Dave Roberts and his BS. More BS from him.
Ken's argument is that because Manny, and we heard those comments earlier, when asked about throwing the ball to the dugout,
yeah,
then said, hey, you know, they threw it our guy.
Sure.
And he said, that's kind of a sign that Manny was at least sending a message over toward the Dodgers dugout.
If Manny wanted to send a message, a real message that put Dave Roberts
you
in danger,
felt it.
You would have known it. You would have known it. This is as soft
as soft
can be.
Well, Ken also says he clearly wasn't trying to hurt Dave Roberts, or he would have actually come a lot closer to hurting him. It wasn't particularly close, but felt like, you know, there shouldn't have been an ejection. But if they had started a benches-clearing brawl, he might have been injected as an instigator. He doesn't believe there's going to be any discipline issued by Major League Baseball after the video has come out, that it's not going to rise to the level of that.
Of course not.
But this piece clearly is going to make its rounds. And, you know, Ken Rosenthal is an influential voice in the baseball media community, and he's going to shape what a lot of people outside of San Diego, at least, we'll think about Manny Machado going forward.
It's basically just a hit piece on Manny. He goes on and he's like, this is a player who in 2014 triggered a benches clearing incident. That was 10 years ago.
10 years ago,
when
dude.
He ejected to a hard tag by Josh Donaldson. This is a player who in 2016 charged the mound and threw punches at Yordano Ventura. This is a player in 2017 who caused the injury that brought the end of Dustin Pedroia's career.
That's such garbage, dude. It's such garbage.
And also a player who the last 7 years, even after all of that, which was overblown, has been a model citizen, a leader in the San Diego community, a leader on the San Diego Padres, and none of that is written. But he coins the phrase sinister sling to give it a name, you know, a scary-sounding name, like this is an actual incident.
Ken Rosenthal's entitled to write whatever he wants about repercussions, and that is his job, and he has earned that right, I suppose. But if any of my friends in the Padres PR staff are listening, pull him aside, please, later today, and just go, hey, Ken.
Thanks a lot, man.
Come here, little guy.
That's
WTF,
yeah.
Man. That's irresponsible.
It was.
As a journalist.
It's terrible.
He, years ago, wrote of Manny, if he wants the noise to stop, he needs to give people less reason to question him. If he wants true appreciation for his greatness, he should create attention only with his performance. Well, one, that's what he's done. And two, I don't think he cares. I really don't think Manny Machado cares that much what is written about him, what is said about him. I think he cares what other ballplayers, you know, respect him for what he does, and they do. They do. You know, almost universally. There's a couple outliers. You still, you know, in the ballplayer community, you still think Manny is a thug or a guy, but I'd say the vast majority of players we've ever talked to, not just teammates, but opponents, respect Manny. A lot of them idolize Manny Machado. They want to be Manny Machado. More than any other ballplayer, I think. They really do want to be Manny Machado. They might want the, you know, hitting ability of Shohei Ohtani or Aaron Judge, but in terms of like the overall just smooth ball playing skills, Manny is number one for a lot of players in the sport of who they really would like to emulate.
So if you're Shilty tonight, you don't let Ken in the dugout, yeah? You pass on the in-game interview.
I don't know that you get a choice in the matter.
What are they going to do?
Find me.
I mean,
I'm not letting that guy near my dugout tonight.
I certainly wouldn't want to see him there, but
if Kevin Acey wrote a hit piece about you, Ben, I would not talk to him.
I don't know what the repercussions are if players get fined if they don't speak. It's part of the television contract with Fox and Major League Baseball that they get in a reporter embedded in the dugout, and players and managers have to do those in-game interviews. If they don't, They certainly will get fined and reprimanded by Major League Baseball. You can wear that, I assume, if you're Mike Schilt and you know want to do that. That there will be consequences if they try to keep him.
Right. But I need Schilt to go full Marshawn Lynch. Hi, it's the bottom of the third inning. I'm here with manager Mike Schilt. Mike, your thoughts on the first three innings of today's game? I'm here, so I won't get fined.
100%, man. It's embarrassing.
It's another. It's another interesting layer for Game 3 of the NLDS tonight. And that is Don't Do This for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Do have some breaking sports news. The New York Jets have reportedly fired head coach Robert Saleh after a 2-3 start, which is a reminder, by the way. Never believe anything that professional athletes or coaches have to say. We had five straight weeks of everyone assuring us that Saleh was good, Aaron Rodgers was good with Saleh, they loved it, everyone was going, no, this doesn't look right, it doesn't look like they're on the same page, and everyone's going, no, we're good, honky-dory.
Honky-dory.
Now he's fired after a 2-3 start.
Did you say
honky-dory?
Honky-dory.
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 What in the world? How many beers did you have?
Zero.
All right.
No, actually, I did have one last night.
Oh, you did?
I did.
All right.
I think I'm probably recovered at this point. All right. We'll come back. Michael King's going to have to step up again tonight. No doubt about it. I certainly don't expect anything less from the Padres starting pitcher in Game 3. We'll get to that and the matchup against Walker Buehler next, live from Baja Ricks. Yeah, we got some people here. Let's come on down. Enjoy the show, enjoy some breakfast, and be with us today on a Playoff Tuesday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Can you hear me now? We're live at Baja Ricks.
Firing on all cylinders today.
Well, Woodsy's doing some television, doing a live TV interview right now here at Baja Ricks Cantina. Just about 2 feet to my right, so I'm trying to not interrupt my my friendly competition on television here that's got their cameras, and he's actually talking with Heather Lake right now on Fox 5. So that's why I'm a little flustered at the moment, but Woodsy will be done. You know, TV hits are fairly short, so probably in 90 seconds or so, he will be back. While he does that, I will remind everybody you can join us all day as we broadcast live at Baja Ricks for Game 3 of the Padres-Dodgers NLDS Series, brought to you by Santo Super Premium Tequila, additive-free tequila from Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Sammy Hagar and world-renowned chef Guy Fieri. Santo, work hard and play loud. To get into the matchup, Paulie, between Walker Buehler and Michael King. Michael King and Walker Buehler spoke yesterday at the workout day at Petco Park. Obviously, Michael King was phenomenal in the wild card series last week against the Atlanta Braves. Padres will be looking for more of the same, and we'll get to all of that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So 1 week ago, when we were sitting here at Baja Ricks, we had no idea how Michael King was going to respond to his first playoff start. Kind of a surprise, was named the Game 1 starter for the wild card series against the Braves, and he went out and was, of course, phenomenal in that game. You know, just what did he get? 12 strikeouts in that game was absolutely
dominant,
fantastic, which completely kind of changes our perspective going into this game, Game 3 of the NLDS tonight. Our expectations for Michael King have shot through the roof, but keep in mind, he's not facing the Atlanta Braves, a team that was decimated by injuries, has a good lineup, but nothing like what he will be facing with the LA Dodgers tonight. So yesterday, Michael King was asked about coming off of that great first start and heading into his now second playoff start with the Padres.
Hey, Michael, what does the response that you guys had as a team last night kind of say about the makeup of this club?
Yeah, big credit to Manny. Manny had us all come together. I also think that the performance is still what matters more than the team just coming together and saying we're going to stick together. And seeing that those last couple innings, how we responded was a huge positive. I also think it starts with Darvish. Darvish had however long of a break while he's standing out there on the mound in his seventh inning, and he goes out there and puts up a zero. And at that point, I think it was still 4-1. So it's a big situation for us to calm down the noise. And he put up the zero, kept the momentum on our side, and we went out there and put up however many runs.
You kind of touched on it. You're obviously coming off a high-intensity start, maybe even more juice going into this one. What do you do with that, knowing that it's going to be maybe even more of an edge on the other side and the environment and all that?
Yeah, I think I know I joked in my first one that my pitch count would have to be up a little bit. I think with these with the opposing team coming in, it'll be a little bit louder. I know that these fans show out, and they're definitely going to make it an uncomfortable environment for the Dodgers.
So, you know, I feel like with the extra intensity here, we saw how he responded to that adrenaline of the playoff start last week. Have no worries that Michael King's going to be, like, too amped for this game. I was a little bit worried about Dylan Cease, and you know, he didn't say that he was too amped for the game, but he was throwing harder than usual. The control was a little bit off in game one. Yeah. Didn't see that with Michael King in his start. So hopefully the same thing will happen tonight. Is no matter how intense, no matter how loud the crowd gets, you know, what the game is like, Michael King has shown that that's a circumstance in which he thrives under, and I would expect the same today. Of course, he does have to face Shohei Ohtani to start the game. Hopefully, you know, three or even four times over the course of the game. Here's what Michael King had to say about the matchup with the Dodgers star.
Michael, Yu Darvish did a nice job against Ohtani last night, held him hitless, and he goes 0-for-4. How do you view that matchup at the top of the lineup in particular and really within the context of their lineup 1-9?
Yeah, I all credit to Darvish. That obviously he's what makes them go. If you can control him, and I also think if you can keep – runners off base when he's on and when he's at the plate is a huge thing. So he did a phenomenal job. You know, he's Shohei Ohtani, so you know he has the ability to get you even if you execute pitches. And it's really just limiting the damage when he's up there. So I'll definitely be asking Darvish what he was seeing and what his approach was.
So we had the stat yesterday. I mean, the biggest difference between game one and two, Padres did a better job of not having runners on when the top of the lineup came up, and then they controlled the top of the lineup 0-for-10 with four strikeouts in game two. Dodgers don't get production out of those top guys, Woods, and welcome back. That's going to be very difficult for them to win that game. So Michael King knows the objective today. He knows what he's facing against these Dodgers.
Yeah, man, and you know, you saw some comments from Mookie Betts yesterday, who is in the torture chamber in October, and he did the 300-400 swings thing again, which he did last week, trying to battle his way out of it. Again, he remains to me such a key to this series. If you can keep him at bay, you know, Shohei can hurt you with a solo shot. He can hurt you with stolen bases. He's a really great player. But, man, you got to keep – don't let Mookie get hot. Also, we don't know the status of Freddie Freeman right now, if he's even going to be able to play. I'm sure he'll try to give it a go. Toradol is a miracle drug, and that's what they used on the last game, but it ran out. You know, it runs out after a while. And you got to keep Lux and Rojas and Will Smith from doing a ton of damage to you as well.
The Mookie thing is weird to me. You know, the numbers, yes, are bad. He's 0 for his last 22 in the playoffs and 2 for 31 in his last three postseasons since joining the Dodgers. Clearly, he has struggled in the playoffs. But most of those at-bats were at least a year ago, if not 2 years ago. In this postseason, he's gone hitless in two games. He did have a home run robbed.
Yeah.
If I'm a normal baseball player, I'm going, that's not a slump. I hit the ball hard a couple of times, you know, ran into some bad luck. I'm not making 400 swings.
No, nor am I.
To get out of some sort of quote-unquote slump. I've had two hitless games in which I definitely hit one ball that was hard enough to get out of the yard because it was over the fence when it was caught. But yet, the way Mookie talks, he sounds like he's lost. Like, he feels like he's completely out of sorts and needs to do something to change it up. I'm not sure if that's the right strategy for Mookie. I think the Padres clearly have the advantage. They are the biggest favorites in all the game threes. Yeah, minus 150 from the Las Vegas odds makers. All the other teams are minus 110 or minus 115. Very close matchups at the most. So Vegas likes the Padres in this game. And part of it is who's on the other side of the pitching matchup against Michael King. And that is Walker Buehler, who undoubtedly has been one of the best pitchers in baseball the last few years. But coming off his Tommy John and returning has not been the same. What was he, 1-6 with an ERA over 5, an ERA plus of 72, 100 is league average, so well below a league average pitcher in his limited starts this season. He did hold the Padres to one run in 5 innings in that last matchup of the season. But
yeah, it looked good doing it.
He did, but it was also pointed out that, and this was from Too Much Mortons, Giannis always has good stuff on Twitter, yes, he held the Padres to one run over 5 innings in his final regular season start, But he only got three whiffs, three swings and misses, and one strikeout, and it was caught looking on Tatis on a ball that was off the plate. So essentially zero earned strikeouts, three swings and misses. Padres just hit the ball at people in that game. And that doesn't always hold. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it's weak contact. I'm not saying he didn't get the job done. He absolutely did. But he wasn't overwhelming. He wasn't Michael King. He wasn't Tarek Skubal. He's not the pitcher that he was before. He's not going to go out there and just completely shut you down. He needs balls not to fall in. He's going to get balls put in play against him. And the Padres, generally, that's been a very good formula for them this season. That's why they're favored in this game tonight.
Well, and nobody does it better than the San Diego Padres as far as not striking out, putting the ball in play. This is the team, the type of team, the type of offense. You know, when it's clicking right, nobody beats this team. Nobody. And you saw it last game, six home runs. And, yeah, man, you don't have to hit the ball out of the ballpark to beat Walker Buehler. You don't. You don't need to get lucky to beat Walker Buehler. You just need to do what you've done all season long. He is a big game pitcher. He relishes in that. He, in fact, yesterday said it's the only thing he cares about is being labeled a big game pitcher. So you get to him early tonight. Now, listen, you will see Dave Roberts tonight be as aggressive as you have ever seen Dave Roberts. He's got a very, very rested bullpen as far as the big guns. You know, the Blake Treinen.
Doesn't that work in our favor, you think?
Because we just saw him? Well, we just saw Treinen for like 40 pitches the other night.
The fact that he's going to manage the way that you expect him to manage tonight.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunities for him to overthink the situation.
No doubt. No.
As we've seen him do time and time again.
No question about it. I thought he managed a really great game in game one. And, you know, listen, with Michael King on the bump tonight, you feel pretty confident. You just can't – that, you know, them getting first licks tonight, Shohei Ohtani will be coming to the plate. You will know about it. There will be a graphic letting you know when he comes to the plate. You may get an alert on your cell phone today about when Shohei Ohtani is striding to the plate tonight for the first time. And when that happens, that's going to be a really fun battle between Michael King and Shohei Ohtani to get this game going.
Obviously, number one goal, only goal, win the game. It's the playoffs. That's the most important thing. But this is part of a series of games. And the biggest goal is to win three of the five. And you can, best case scenario, with your, you know, Michael King on the mound against Walker Buehler, you can hopefully win today's game and take a good step toward winning tomorrow's game.
Sure.
Because the Dodgers, without having named a starter yet, presumably Landon Knack, they're going to want to use their bullpen heavily tomorrow, as will the Padres with either, you know, Martin Perez. Mike Schilt still hasn't said whether he's going to go, you know, Dylan Cease on short rest.
Could be an opener.
That's possible. Yep. Could be an opener. And then Martin Perez for length. But whatever it is, Padres will be relying on the bullpen tomorrow, which means the more you get from Michael King today, after you got seven from Yu Darvish in game two, if you can get something like that today, you haven't used Robert Suarez in this series, the more you're set up with your bullpen rested, the more the Dodgers have to use some of their better arms to keep them in the game. You know, ideally, hold on to a deficit that the Padres have a lead and they're just trying to hang on. You can go take a step toward winning tomorrow's game as well with a good performance tonight by the San Diego Padres, because there is context here. Now, Mike Schilt manages pretty much every game like it's Game 7. He manages in the regular season. He sees a win, he goes after it.
Yeah.
You're up four, here comes the closer. I certainly don't expect anything less tonight. He's not saving anyone for tomorrow when there's a chance to win the game today and take a 2-1 series lead. But
there is another
game tomorrow. Win or lose, there is another game tomorrow.
There's a couple interesting lanes that we can talk about as well tonight. And obviously you don't know what the game's going to dictate, but think about if you get down to the, you know, if it's a fairly close game and you get down to the seventh inning, Ben, and they got the bottom of their order up. We have not seen Robert Suarez in this series yet. Think about him going down, you know, 7, 8, 9, and then you get Tanner Scott in for the eighth. And you're going to have to figure out the ninth if it's still a close game. But think about lanes all night. Jason Adam looked spectacular. You feel like Jason Adam can get Shohei out. But you know Tanner Scott can get Shohei out. I think that strategy is going to be fascinating to watch.
But the more Shohei sees him, obviously, the better it is for Shohei. He hasn't had any success against him yet.
Yeah.
But you're going to go to that well at some point.
Well, you only need him for one time.
Right.
You just need to get him one time if it's in a big spot. And if it's not in a big spot, you don't need him.
I mean, do you keep going with Scott against Ohtani until proven otherwise? Is that how you go? Or do you give Shohei a different look?
What is he one, seen, one for 11?
Hasn't seen Suarez here. Would you be more confident in giving him a chance?
No. Come on, bro.
I'm just asking the question.
Come on.
I tend to think, you know, they're going to keep riding Tanner Scott.
Especially against Shohei.
There's a reason not to, but...
Yeah, there's...
But if Class A can get beat with a three-run home run, anyone can get beat. Whether it's Suarez, Adam, Scott, anyone.
Yeah, no question,
Or Trinan or Kopech.
Correct.
They're all... The Padres have seen those guys in this series now. They saw them recently at the end of the regular season. These teams are very familiar. One wild card, and I'll just throw it out because he was out on the field yesterday, is Sean Reynolds.
Yeah.
Who was throwing a simulated inning, like 20 pitches, full out, and could be activated. Now, you can only join this series if someone else gets hurt and is placed on the injured list. Haven't heard anything yet, but it is a possibility. It was brought up. It might have been Kevin Acey I was reading yesterday or Dennis Lynn. I'm not sure. But the Dodgers have never seen him.
Yeah.
And that would be a wrinkle that you could throw in there. A guy who had a sub-1 ERA during the season, a really good strikeout-to-walk ratio, strikeouts per innings pitch ratio that the Dodgers do not have any familiarity with. Boy, that would be what a spot to put him into if they did decide to go that direction. But he was out there. He's with the team. And if they wanted to call him up, they could manipulate that in a way where you could see that in games 4 or 5.
Always fun, man. Always fun to see how these power arms are deployed. And, you know, listen, the Padres did a good job at hitting off the Dodgers' second-tier bullpen pieces last time. You got to keep that going tonight, but you really got to get to the starter, Walker Buehler, first.
And you really have to get to Baja Rick's Cantina here in the Gas Lab. We're here for another 2 hours. Jesse Agler is going to join us in our 8 o'clock hour as we talk to the voice of the Padres and much more. Don't go away. Ben and Woods continuing on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.